This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. House Speaker John Boehner announced his resignation this morning. The Republican leader reportedly told colleagues in a closed-door meeting that he will resign at the end of October. Boehner faced dissent in his own party from members like North Carolina's Mark Meadows, who think that he is just not conservative enough. At the state level, lawmakers have set the date for North Carolina voters to head to the polls and cast primary ballots. That date, March 15th, and that's a move ahead, which means filing deadlines will move up as well. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins me now for that and more. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you, Frank. The news is just incredible.
It is incredible, to some extent surprising, right?
Well, here's the funny part. I mean, I sound like John Kerry here, but it is surprising, but it's not surprising in the sense that you know that Speaker Boehner has been besieged by conservative opposition, Tea Party opposition, from the moment he was reelected Speaker back in January. I think a record 25 Republicans voted against his reelection as Speaker. And then there was also a measure by Mark Meadows, the Republican from North Carolina, who wanted to declare that the seat of the Speaker being vacant so that they could vote on whether to replace him or not. He's been under siege for a long time, and ultimately, I guess he felt like he had enough.
Well, again, these were credible challenges to some extent, but did anybody think they would be amount to enough to force his resignation?
No, I don't think so. I think ultimately, I think the question was whether it was just worth, you know, having this battle going on constantly, and nothing was really getting done in the House because, as many people who don't think that John Boehner is conservative enough. He really is quite a conservative Republican. He has spent much of his time trying to thwart President Obama and the Democrats as much as he could. But at the same time, you have the band of maybe 30 to 35 Republicans I call absolutists who said, well, why do we still have Obamacare? Why are we having an agreement with Iran? Why is there still federal funding of Planned Parenthood? If the Republicans control Congress, why is this still happening? So Boehner was getting hit from both sides.
All right, so who's the likely next speaker?
Well, Kevin McCarthy is the House Majority Leader. He first elected to Congress in 2006. He became Majority Leader when Eric Cantor surprisingly lost his primary last year. McCarthy has a much better relationship with the Tea Party folks and the upstarts and things like that and the conservatives. But ultimately, Kevin McCarthy, like John Boehner, opposes a government shutdown. Conservatives are talking about shutting down the government if they can't get rid of the federal funding for Planned Parenthood. So, you know, even though Boehner may be gone or about to be gone at the end of October, I'm still not convinced that much will change in the House because McCarthy supports and shares a lot of the views that Boehner does about how the House should be led.
Well, then that leads to the question of this impending government shutdown. And here we are facing it again. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, by all accounts, it looks like they're going to have a short-term extension so they can keep talking and maybe an extension until December. But you know, this is the way the government's been working. Everything is always short-term because they can't come to agreements on anything. And while I think to a person, I think nearly every Republican wants to end federal funding of Planned Parenthood, especially after those videos, you know, doctored or not, they certainly drew a lot of attention. But you know, shutting down the government is not the way the Republicans want. Leadership will point out that polls that showed Republicans taking a beating after the 2013 shutdown. But the Tea Party folks will say, well, wait a second. If the Republican Party was so badly beaten by the shutdown, why did we increase our majority in 2014? So that debate continues.
Well, let's turn to the presidential race. A lot of big moves since last we spoke. Scott Walker, who'd raised a lot of PAC money, is out. What do you make of that?
Not only did he raise a lot of PAC money, for the longest time he was, I mean, these early polls are obviously meaningless, but for the longest time he was considered the front runner in Iowa. I mean, he had a big lead. He had a very good speech in January. But basically, since Donald Trump came to the scene, he seemed to just, you know, one, suck out all the oxygen in the room, and two, somebody like Scott Walker, who tried to be an establishment Republican, tried to be a Tea Party Republican, he never was really one or the other, and I think he never had support in either camp. And plus the fact that there were a lot of, you know, flip-flopping on issues by Walker. He, you know, whenever Donald Trump would say something, Scott Walker would try to up him. And then when we saw the debates, basically he was ignored in both the Fox and CNN debates. And once, you know, his polls seemed to sink, the donors say that, well, we're not going to support somebody who's going nowhere. So a very quick come down for Scott Walker.
And Carly Fiorina seems to have taken center stage. As you said, Donald Trump is slipping a bit. Scott Walker out. What do you think of her chances?
Well, I don't know. I mean, yes, I think she did very good in the debates, some very concise, very crisp answers. I think a lot of people like the fact that she gave Donald Trump headaches, and most Republicans don't seem to do that to Donald Trump. Donald Trump seems to say anything he wants with impunity, but he got a lot of blowback from his comments about Carly Fiorina's looks, and when she stood him down at the debate, the CNN debate, he looked pretty, you know, shaken. But at the same time, there are a lot of questions about her record, her stewardship at Hewlett-Packard. And while she may be riding high in the polls right now, like with anybody, like with Ben Carson, anybody moving to the top, there'll be more scrutiny. And I suspect it may not, her popularity in the polls may not last as long as it is, as is going on right now.
We talked about Donald Trump. A new poll in North Carolina by Elon University shows that Hillary Clinton would beat Donald Trump. Do we think his star is fading now? Are we about to hear the last from him?
Oh, well, no. I mean, that's still not the case. He's still leading in every poll. He may not be as strong. But, you know, I thought the strangest thing in that poll was not so much that Hillary Clinton is leading Donald Trump, but that Ben Carson has a huge lead over Hillary Clinton. And if anybody, I think, is going to fall in the polls quickly, I think it's Ben Carson. I think he got a lot of good support after a very convincing and clever closing argument after the first debate. But his gravitas, let's say, on foreign issues, on the issues of the day, on his argument about vaccines and autism and things like that, I think voters are giving him a second look, and I think his numbers will tumble as well. But that new Elon poll had him with a big lead over Hillary, which to me was the most remarkable headline of the whole thing.
Obviously, the election, presidential election, is a long way off. But what do you make of this Tea Party insurgency now seeming to become more effective, even as some of the party leaders try to reduce the impact of the Tea Party, and the way the primaries are going for the Republicans? Is this going to all of this carry forward? Is it going to have an impact on the election, or will it all be forgotten by then?
Well, that's a good question. I think that's what Scott Walker was talking about when he dropped out of the race. He says, look, this is really not what we expected. This has the potential for being divisive and a long feud that could go on for months. And so I'm dropping out. I'm hoping other Republicans would drop out so there'd be a clearer alternative to Donald Trump. Because right now, when you have 14, 15 Republicans in the race, Donald Trump will be the front runner, but of course, if those numbers decline, if the number of candidates decline, perhaps Donald Trump's numbers will stay the same and they could coalesce around another Republican. The question is, who is that other Republican?
Here in North Carolina, the state lawmakers move up the primary date to March 15th. What impact does that have, or any, on the big picture?
Well, I think it does. I mean, you know, for often North Carolina has its primary in May, and of course, when it's in May, nobody pays attention. North Carolina wanted to have it in February. Of course, the party rules would say they'd lose their delegates if they had it that early. And there are a lot of southern states, the SEC primary, they're calling it, on March 1st. I'm thinking that March 15th is a very good time, a good influence for North Carolina, because other states are not holding it that day, and that will certainly have the spotlight will be on the Tar Heel state on that time. And of course, if the Republican Party is still battling for a nomination, it could be a crucial primary.
The voter ID lawsuit was permitted to proceed this week, so it is going forward. Now, that's not going to stop. So for this primary, it goes into effect in 2016. So obviously, if there are any municipal elections or anything before that, still no voter ID required. But for that 2016 primary, you'll still need them. However, the lawsuit that challenges the law is going forward. Again, is this law itself, is the idea, and of course critics will charge it's an attempted voter suppression, is that going to have any impact, do you think, on voter turnout?
Well, it might. You know, they looked about the during the Tillis-Hagen Senate race in 2014. There were questions of whether that limited turnout, and both sides had their own arguments. I don't think it did. And, of course, the Republicans will say, well, look, of course, this will stop voter fraud. And besides, even if you don't have an ID, you can cast a provisional ballot. So every vote will count. But, look, there are federal challenges to it. The courts are looking at it. I don't think it'll affect anything as of March 15th, but obviously it's something that may be decided once and for all in 2016.
Governor McCrory is going to make a bid for re-election in 2016. Elon poll puts him neck and neck with his Democratic challenger, Roy Cooper. Is that unusual for an incumbent to be in a dead heat this early?
Well, you know something, that's a good question. We've seen, every time we see potential matchups between McCrory and Cooper after all these months, they're always neck and neck. The question is whether, I kind of think that one of the reasons it's so close is that there are still a lot of Republicans who are not madly in love with McCrory. I think as the campaign goes on, those numbers could change. But look, this is going to probably be the top governor's race in the country in 2016, and I suspect it'll be neck and neck all the way to November.
Very, very briefly, how important is North Carolina in the presidential race in 2016?
Oh, it's crucial. I mean, it was the only swing state the Republicans carried in 2012. They've got to carry again in 2016 if they have a chance of winning back the presidency.
All right, Ken, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Ken Rudin, the political junkie. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Frank.
State of Things going to be in Raleigh at NC State on Monday. We're going to screen the movie The Graduate, that 1967 hit. You can be in the audience at Hunt Auditorium in Raleigh on Monday evening, 6:30. Find out how to get there, watch the movie, and then we're going to record Movies on the Radio right there. You can be in the audience. Stateofthings.org is what to look at. Just ahead, a backup singer takes center stage, vocalist Jo Lowry, about her career and work with Sting on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.